Vayi in you. Etat this. Ascharyam wonderful. Aja. O Lord Shiva. Atmamaya. By the external energy of the Supreme Lord. Vinirmitam. Created. Bhati. Appears. Gunatraya Atmakam. Being an interaction of the three modes of material nature. Tata api. Even so. Aham. I. Yoshit. Woman. Atatvavit. Not conversant with the truth. Cha. And. Te. Your. Dina. Poor. Didrikshe. I wish to see. Bhava, O Lord Shiva. May, my. Bhavakshitim. Place of birth. So translation, this manifested cosmos is a wonderful creation of the interaction of the three material modes, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you, yet I am but a poor woman. And as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once more. So you can repeat. This manifested cosmos, is a wonderful creation, of the interaction of the three material modes, or the external energy of the Supreme Lord. This truth is fully known to you. Yet I am but a poor woman. And as you know, I am not conversant with the truth. Therefore, I wish to see my birthplace once more. So purport by His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada ki jai. Dakshayini Sati knew very well that her husband, Lord Shiva, was not very much interested in the glaring manifestation of the material world, which is caused by the interaction of the three modes of nature. Therefore, she addressed her husband as Aja, which refers to one who has transcended the bondage of birth and death, or one who has realized his eternal position. She stated, the illusion of accepting the perverted reflection in the material or cosmic manifestation to be real is not present in you, because you are self-realized. For you, the attraction of social life and the consideration that someone is father, someone is mother, and someone is sister, which are illusory relationships, is already over. But because I am a poor woman, I am not advanced in transcendental realization. That, therefore, naturally, these appear to me as real. Only less intelligent persons accept this perverted reflection of the spiritual world to be real. Those who are under the spell of the external energy accept this manifestation to be a fact, whereas those who are advanced in spiritual realization know that it is illusion. Actual reality is elsewhere in the spiritual world, but as far as I am concerned, Sati said, I do not have much knowledge about self-realization. I am poor because I do not know the actual facts. I am attracted by my birthplace, and I want to see it. One who has attraction for his birthplace, for his body, and for other such items mentioned in the Bhagavatam is considered to be like an ass or a cow. Sati might have heard all this many times from her husband, Lord Shiva, but because she was a woman, Yoshit, she still hankered after the same material objects of affection. The word Yoshit means one who is enjoyed. Therefore, woman is called Yoshit, and spiritual advancement association with Yoshit is always restricted, because if one is like a play doll in the hands of Yoshit, then all his spiritual advancement is at one stop. It is said, those who are just like playthings in the hands of a woman, Yoshit Krida Mrageshu, cannot make any advancement in spiritual realization. So, Tvaya Itarascharya Majatma Maya. Vinirmitam bhati guna triyatmakam tatapyaham yoshira tatva vichite Okay. So, Om Gadat Miranda Shah, Gananjana Shalakya Chakshuran Meritam, Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Maha. So, those of you who are in ladies' bodies, you hear this, you just get very discouraged. Oh my God. I mean, this is Durga. And look at me, you know, I'm not really, you know, up to that mark. And look at her, she's in my... So anyway, so let me describe this so you won't get completely discouraged. And I'll be able to explain this, so it'll be very encouraging. First of all, Durga is a pure devotee. She knows all these things. And this is a past time. In other words, it's enacted for our edification and for the pleasure. These are great personalities. You know, they like Lord Shiva, Durga. When Lord Shiva gets angry, it's not Maya or ignorance. When Durga is attached to her home or appears to be attached, it's a play. It's a play. Pure devotees are in pastimes or play. That's the first thing you got to understand. And I'll prove that by a story from the Chaitanya Mangal. Once upon a time, Narada Muni wanted to take Mahaprasadam. Some of you know this story. And this story actually is the opposite, where Lord Shiva accuses her of being in illusion and not qualified, and she proves herself to be the opposite. So anyway, Narada Muni served Lakshmi for many years, like 100 celestial years. And then Lakshmi said, what do you want? Because Lakshmi is in charge of Mahaprasadam. She serves like a good wife. She serves her husband. Anyway. This is like it was Mother's Day the other day. And I wished my mother Happy Mother's Day. And she said, do you have any words for me? And I said, yes, you should always remain in the kitchen and serve and not do anything. And she started getting angry. And I started laughing. She started laughing. Anyway, so... And I said, yeah, the woman's place, always stay in the kitchen. It should not be, a woman should not be heard, should be seen, not heard. Anyway, so I was joking. And she really got angry. But this is Husha, one of the indirect rasas. So anyway, so I was joking, obviously. So Narada Muni was serving Lakshmi. Lakshmi's in charge of serving Lord Narayan. And she asked him, you know, after a while, what blessing do you want? And he said, I want some Mahaprasadam. And she said, I've been told not to give any away. And so she was all bewildered. She went to Lord Narayan. Lord Narayan told her, you know, you shouldn't have made a promise that you can't fulfill. Made a big mistake this time. But you can sneak some away when I'm not looking. That's interesting. In other words, I know about it, but, you know, at least people won't accuse me of giving away Mahaprasadam, because, you know, she did it when I wasn't looking. Anyway, it's kind of funny. Sorry. So she snuck some away, gave some to Narada Muni. He started dancing in ecstasy, like anything. And then Lord Shiva happened to see him dancing in ecstasy, and Lord Shiva said, what is the problem? And he said, actually, I got some Mahaprasadam. And Lord Shiva said, did you save any Mahaprasadam for me? I'm your brother, you know, Bratashri. And Narada Muni said, well, I forgot. It was so good, I ate it all up. Just like you see sometimes at the Sunday feast, you know, people are eating all up and the poor people who are serving don't get any prasadam, right? And then Gopal comes out. Anyway, he's probably watching now, so... Anyway, it happens sometimes. You know, people just get enthusiastic and they eat too much. So Narada Muni also got enthusiastic. He ate too much. He didn't leave any over for Lord Shiva. So Narada Muni just looked and said, oh my God, what am I going to do? Oh, I have some under my fingernails, you know. And so he gave the fingernail, Not the fingernail, but the prasadam under the fingernail. Well, you want to see if Gobal's watching? Yeah, there's a lot of people watching today. Leave the volume on low because it actually comes out better. I tested it last night. Just leave the volume where it is. Leave it. No, leave it off. Okay. Because it overrides if it's too much. They can hear. They can hear. So what happened is that Lord Shiva started dancing in ecstasy, you know, jumping up and down, jai, 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 hari bo. And the whole universe was being, you know, like, tilted and almost destroyed. And the demigods went to Durga and said, you better stop him. You know, you're the only one who can stop him because you're his wife, you know, at least he won't get too angry with you. So she stopped him, and he said, what did you stop me for? I was in ecstasy. And she said, why were you in ecstasy? And he said, because I got Mahaprasadam. And she said, well, did you save any for me? So here's where we get to the opposite of this whole story here. So in this particular juncture, in this particular story, he says, you're actually not qualified to eat Mahaprasadam. He says, the woman, you know, what's wrong with you? You know, you're the material energy, you're Durga. So, you know, it's actually, you juxtapose this story with that story. So it's very interesting. And you're not qualified. And she got angrier and angrier. And she said, look, my name is Vaishnavi. I'm qualified. And I'll prove that I'm qualified. Whether you like it or not, I'm going to cause Lord Vishnu to appear. And he's going to give out Mahaprasadam to all my children, which is everybody in the whole universe. So she, Lord, by her dint of her devotion, she's a pure devotee. Lord Shiva appeared. I mean, Lord Vishnu appeared, I'm sorry. Lord Vishnu appeared, and Lord Vishnu gave out Mahaprasadam. That's why we have Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, Lord Jagannath gives out Mahaprasadam and everything like that. So that juxtaposes both stories. And actually proves that Durga is a pure devotee. And even Lord Shiva, he doesn't appreciate it all the time. It's like many husbands don't appreciate their wives properly. And they quote things out of context. So Lord Shiva was also quoting things out of context. You understand? This is a pastime. I'm not criticizing Lord Shiva, and I'm not criticizing Durga either. Anyway, so let's get back to this story, which is really interesting. And whether she is actually less intelligent. Now, it's very interesting. She is doing something that we often do in devotional service, which is called, and also in NVC language, is called denial. For those of you who study NVC, that means denial of responsibility. Because you deny responsibility for your actions or for your inactions by blaming someone or something else. Like, for example, the devil made me do it. That's Christianity, you know, that's what they do. You ever hear that? You know, someone, you see a nice Christian at the bar drinking, you know, getting intoxicated, and he says, what are you here for, Father? And he'll say, the flesh is weak, the soul is willing. You ever hear that expression before? That's a common expression that's used in Christianity. The soul is willing, but the flesh is weak. That means the devil, and also they'll say, the devil made me do it. Or we're all born into sin. And only by remembering the Lord can we actually become free from sin. You know, anyway, all you have to do is have faith and everything's right. Everybody's imperfect. You ever hear these excuses? Oh, there's a bunch of excuses they use in the Western world in Christianity. And we use excuses too. I'll get to Krishna conscious excuses in a second. So there's so many excuses, or, you know, even in common exchanges, if someone gets angry, they blame someone else for their anger. Like they, you know, I get these letters all the time about dealings between husbands and wives. You know, the wife goes up to the husband, really interesting stories. This is real life, this is not Bollywood. In real life, the wife goes up to the husband, husband's watching TV, she wants him to chant his rounds. You ever hear this before? This is real life, you know, not something in the movies. The husband is watching TV. He has a stack of videos like that. And he's waking up late, and the wife says, "Wouldn't you really like to chant your rounds, you know, worship Krishna, or something like that, or get up early, you know, why are you watching this?" And he steam starts coming out from his ears, because he's watching videos that actually are imbued with different modes of nature, particularly the mode of passion and ignorance, and then he starts getting angry. "You're making me angry. I'm going to smash you. I'm going to break your head." I get letters like this. Not people going to break my head. They wouldn't think of that because they're afraid of the Yamadutas. But their wives' heads they'll break. You know, just think about that. You know, that's horrible, isn't it? And they're blaming their wife for their anger. You know, so in other words, you're always blaming someone, isn't it? Denial, blaming someone else for something else. So here we go. Let's go as far as a regular interaction is concerned, you know, a Krishna conscious interaction. So we're generally affected by the modes of material nature. So we blame the modes of material nature. "Maya is very strong, Maharaj. I'm a conditioned soul, Maharaj. I'm a new devotee, Maharaj." Anyway, there's billions of excuses. I'm sure if we did a think tank here, we could come up with so many excuses. You know, I'm in my Saturn period, Maharaj. The moon is full, Maharaj. It's the new moon, Maharaj. It's a Kadashi, Maharaj. So practically speaking, for every day in the month, it's a Kadashi, it's Dwadashi, it's Triodashi. Isn't that? You have a different excuse. "My husband yelled at me. My wife yelled at me, Maharaj. I didn't get enough to eat, Maharaj. I ate too much, Maharaj." Isn't it really interesting? We have these billions of excuses. "You are mean to me, Maharaj. You're not empathic with me, Maharaj." "I'm an anxiety, Maharaj." I mean, anyway, we have all these different excuses, which is really interesting that we... It's actually quite interesting. We have all these excuses for being in Maya, whereas we have to take responsibility. We should just say, "I'm in Maya because I want to be in Maya." Just like when Prabhupada would catch someone making a mistake, the person would actually say to Prabhupada, "You know, I'm a conditioned soul, Prabhupada. You know, what do you expect?" Or something like that. And Prabhupada would say, "No." Would say, "I don't accept that." And ultimately, Prabhupada wanted them to come to the point of doing something right instead of just making an excuse for, you know, doing something wrong. So this is really important for us in spiritual life. So here, Sati is basically doing that. She's saying, you know, I'm a woman and I'm in Maya. What do you expect? And that's a big excuse. I tell you, it's a big excuse, which... But people become conditioned to that excuse. I mean, sometimes in ISKCON, you hear this so many times. You know, "Woman, you're less intelligent, this, that." And you say, "Yeah, I'm less intelligent. I must be less intelligent," like that. "And I'm a man. I'm more intelligent. I am more intelligent. And if you don't believe me, I'm going to smack you." Because who's less intelligent? Who's more intelligent? Anyway, so you actually become conditioned when you hear something enough times like that to using these particular excuses. I mean, just like the story that the Prabhupada told about Gopal Bhanda has become a ghost, and he actually thought he was a ghost. You know, in the beginning he didn't. You know, he just like, they had a whole plan against this. He was the joker of the king. Kings always keep jokers. Keeps life enlivening. Anyway, so he was the joker, and the king wanted to play a joke on him. He said, "Everybody in the kingdom say Gopal Bhan has become a ghost when you see him." And so the first person who saw him said, "Oh, you become a ghost." And he was thinking, come on, you know, cut the humor. And second person, "Oh, you become a ghost. Oh, you become a ghost." And so by the time it came to the 10th person, "I become a ghost." You know, he actually thought he was a ghost. Prabhupada told that story. So in the same way, when we hear something enough times, you know, we just become... let's say, conditioned to using particular excuses or particular upadis or designations on ourselves. You know, you hear, I'm an American. That's the same thing as I'm a ghost. I'm an American. I'm white. I'm black. I'm purple. It's like you can have people, it was in Atlanta, they had the people called the purple people. You ever hear them? No. Anyway. So, or I'm Mauritian. Of course, we call them in the GBC, you call Mauritians Martians. Did you know that? Because there's so many problems in Mauritius that we got so upset with them and said, oh, the Martians have come to speak to us this year. There's so many politics in Mauritius that we call them Martians. Did you know that?
No.
Now you know.
I'm Mauritian.
I know. Your bodies came from that. So it's really funny because we always identify, you know, I'm just a woman, I was just born here, I'm uneducated, I was raised in the darkness of ignorance, so let me stay in the darkness of ignorance. Anyway, so this is called upadis in Sanskrit, the designation, you know, and we generally use this as an excuse. You know, you don't understand me, all these things like that. So that's good. So we have to change this mentality and do something called thinking outside of the box. That's our box. We've made a little box for ourselves. You understand? Like the women have made a little woman box. You know, and we think, you know, we're joking aside, but, you know, many women are even trained in ISKCON. That the you know that your whole purpose in life is just to get married, and have children, be a good mother. You know that's all right. You can do that. We don't object to people getting married. We used to, but not anymore. You know, we used to be fanatic sannyasis, and you know, when everyone got married, we objected. You know, when they did the marriage ceremony, if anyone has any objections, please speak now, forever hold your peace. And I used to be in the back, I object. The only person ever to do that at a marriage ceremony. Anyways, no, we don't have any objections, but if one thinks that's the only purpose in life, you know, your purpose in life is to be Krishna conscious. And your purpose in life is to spread Krishna consciousness. Purpose in life is to be part of Lord Chaitanya's Sankirtan movement, and your real designation is Jivera Svarupa Nitya Krishna Das, the eternal servant of Krishna, regardless of what type of body you have. So you got to get rid of these designations, of course, by having, we're not going to do a negative. Don't worry. I can't do a negative. We got to, by having a positive designation that I'm servant to Krishna. All these other things are just like upadis. We're not even concerned about them. And therefore, when you think outside the box, you can do the impossible. Like Prabhupada would say, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. You know, we have these, not only these designations, but these limitations we put on ourselves. Oh, it can't be done. It's impossible. Like they said to Prabhupada, right? When Prabhupada said, you know, I want you to produce 17 books in 2 months. Prabhupada was touring the BBT, and he saw all these different machines that we were so proud of. I mean, practically the first computers I ever came in contact with, you know, in the old days when they used to program computers with punch tape with little holes in it. None of you have seen that. It was like, you've seen that before. You know, it was really...
My uncle taught that way. That's how he taught out computers with punch cards.
Punch cards and also punch tape, you know, tape with little holes in it that the computer would read instead of even magnetic stuff. So we were so proud of that. We also had a teletype machine. You know, I don't know if any of you know what a teletype machine, but, you know, anyway, between New York and Los Angeles, we typed out, you know, Prabhupada is here on the teletype machine. Prabhupada was standing right there. This is a story that gets there in the Prabhupada Lilamrita, and the devotees weren't watching the teletype. Finally, they got the message that Prabhupada was watching, and the teletype machine typed out, on our end, all glories to Prabhupada. Anyways, so Prabhupada said, it's all useless unless you can produce 17 books in 2 months. And Ramaswar, he said, impossible. And Prabhupada said, impossible is a word in a fool's dictionary. And so Prabhupada broke through, you know, that particular, you know, box that we were all in. And then it happened. 17 books were produced in 2 months. 17 big books, you know, like this size book. Chaitanya Charitamrita, fifth canto of Bhagavatam, with artwork too. And the artists were thinking, we can't paint that fast. And we thought outside the box, because each artist was thinking, I'm an artist. They were designating themselves as artists. And artists have to take possession of their own particular painting, right? That's why they sign on the bottom. Even if it's Radhan Krishna, you've got to sign, you know, Devi Dasi did this. You know, artists, it's my work, it's my art. So we broke through that particular concept. How did we break through it? We did art in the production line. We said, you paint the eyebrows. That's all you're going to do. And the artist started shaking. Were you there at that time, Apurva? In LA at that time? No. Look, and the artist started shaking, but it's not my work anymore. And he said, no, Prabhupada wants 17 books in 2 months. You paint the eyebrows. And then when the person supervising thought the eyebrows were finished, they took the painting away from the artist. And you know, like artists are just like possessive, you know, and broke through that conception that I'm an artist, you know. And he moved to the next one. All right, you paint the clouds in the sky. So they had one painting the eyebrows, another one the clouds in the sky. It wasn't just eyebrows with clouds in the sky. I mean, there's the whole bodies there. But each artist specialized in, you know, like a mass production. Like if you go to Detroit, how they produce cars, one person just screws one screw in, another person screws the other screw. That's how you get, that's mass production. That's how you produce a lot, isn't it? Like if each person did the whole car, you wouldn't get many cars out. So mass production means, I'm not saying mass production is a good thing, I'm just saying this is the way you produce a lot of things. So therefore, all this artwork came out. 2 months, 17 books worth of artwork. Pretty good, isn't it? And then because they broke through the box, the mental box that everybody had. And they broke through the box that we thought we had to sleep a certain amount every night. It was 24 hours a day. I was there. Yeah, I was one of the directors of that book production at that time. So 24 hours a day, the devotees were working. And it was so ecstatic because we forgot that we had material bodies. And we forgot that we were men or women or we were artists or we were businessmen or whatever the heck we were. We gave it all up. And then we transcended. And then after the 2 months was over, we fell back into Maya. But that's another story. And then after 2 months, oh, now we can... Now I'm a man, now I'm a woman again, now I'm a brahmachari, now I'm a sannyasi, now I'm a businessman, now I'm this, you know, all the designate. So that was actually quite interesting. So even Prabhupada was dissuaded or attempted, there was attempted dissuasion on the part of his brother, godbrothers, when he wanted to come to the West and preach. Not only on the part of his godbrothers, but actually on the part of even Sumati Maharaji. You understand? Like Prabhupada wanted to come. He knew the order of his spiritual master. He was one-pointed. And he was thinking, you know, I have to go to the West to preach. So his godbrother said, no, you don't go to the West. Everything's done with television nowadays. Because now internet. So anyway, so everything is done with television. You know, that people don't preach. It's not worth it. You're just old. You know, just stay in the ashram of Bhai Babu or Bhai Swami. By Charanara Vindaswami. So just stay in the ashram and, you know, edit some books for us. You know, be cool, you know. Don't behave yourself. And Prabhupada saw, I have the order of my spiritual master. I don't care if I'm old, if the body's old. I'm not attached to this body. And even Sumati Maharaji said, you know, first of all, he sat on the doorsteps, the steps leading up to the building in which she was working, just so she would see him. You know, he's so determined. And then when finally she saw him, she said to him, you know, actually, Swamiji, you know, my associates and people who work with me are saying that the Swami's going to die if he goes overseas like that. And Prabhupada said, Prabhupada was determined. He didn't listen to that. I'm going to die. You know, most of us, you know, hear, oh, I'm going to die. Oh, better go back to Vrindavan. I'm going to die. And then so, then Prabhupada was determined, and finally he said, give it to me, and he got the ticket to go to America. And then even on the boat, he had these two heart attacks, you understand? And he had the dream, of course, that Krishna was rowing the boat with all of his various incarnations. You know the story? Was that Krishna was rowing the boat, in all his incarnations, rowing the boat. And even then, he didn't think, I had a heart attack, it's time just to, you know, rest. He just continued, isn't it? I mean, he really wasn't impeded by any of these material conceptions or thoughts or designations, even though people tried to preach to him, to tell him about those things, still. He wasn't impeded by those things. Interesting, isn't it? So that's the point about those of you who are in women's bodies. You know, it's just, if you think you're a woman, then you're in Maya. If you think you're a man, then you're in Maya. But if you think you're part and parcel of Krishna, meant to serve Krishna, then you can do miracles. Like Prabhupada expected us to do miracles. The Prabhupada said, you Western girls and boys, you should do miracles for Krishna. And so we shouldn't think, we think small. Just like right now, you were working on this Govardhan project, and people say, you know, $350,000, it's a lot of money. No, it's not a lot. Krishna has so much money. I mean, what's the problem? Krishna's not a billionaire, not a trillionaire, not a quadrillionaire, I don't even know any bigger numbers than that. Anyway, a trillion, trillionaire. And you know, Krishna has everything. You know, we think small, isn't it? Godzilla? No.
Godzillionaire.
Not Godzillionaire. That sounds like that monster Godzilla. That's a horrible thing to say about Krishna. But Krishna is unlimited in air. You know, but we're thinking small. Oh, it can't be done. But no, it can be done. If Krishna wants, and if Krishna doesn't want things to get, you know, it's up to Krishna. But anything can happen. President Obama could become a devotee tomorrow. He could come in and start chanting japa. You know, why think small? You know, why think small? You know, we're thinking, the problem is we're thinking small limitations, and therefore we're limited. That's why. Isn't it? We're thinking limitations, and the limitations are what limit us. Not the real world, not Krishna. That's not what's limiting us. Our own mind and our own limitations. So anyway, so if someone thinks they're a woman, they're limited. Someone thinks they're a man, they're limited. But we can do anything Krishna wants. And just look at Arjuna. He was fighting in the battlefield of Kurukshetra. They were vastly outnumbered. They had Krishna's army on the other side. You know, come on. Grandfather Bhishma, Krishna's army. And they were, you know, almost outnumbered 2-1 with the Maharathas, right? And then, you know, but he had Krishna on his side, so he was able to do the impossible. There's no impossible for a devotee. I mean, we should always be thinking big. And Prabhupada said, we'll leave you with this, Prabhupada said, when you go hunting, you should shoot for the rhinoceros. And if you don't hit the rhinoceros, then people will say it couldn't be done anyway, and they'll still admire you. And if you do, you'll be a great hero. So, but anyway, there's no question of rhinoceros for Krishna. For Krishna, everything is an ant. Okay? On that note, all glories to His Divine Grace, Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada. Jai Radha Galokananda.